Hope everybody's out of shock by now.
Okay.
See these two people come up. Okay, we're missing pastors this morning, but in his stead, they asked us to take the service this morning. It'll be communion. And so that you don't miss the pastors too much, I'm now going to ask you to look at your neighbor. As he says, it is neighbor looking time.
Okay. As only he can say it.
I want you to smile at your neighbor. And if he, as he said a couple of times, if you don't like your neighbor,
change
seats next time. But I know we all like our neighbors. We love our neighbors.
That's right.
And we praise God that pastors have a loving church here.
Amen.
Point at your neighbor and say, I came
to receive
God's good word this morning,
this day,
and I declare
I'm ready.
Are you all ready
to receive
God's good word
this day.
And I declare
I'll never
ever
be the same
again
in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Pastor sent me a text wanting to read this for them in their stead. To our Oasis family, as you probably know, I fell and fractured my arm last Thursday. The doctor said this kind of fracture takes a lot of patience and prayer. I know you're all keeping me in prayer. God has blessed us with an awesome, praying church family. Pastor Rock has also come under attack with congestion and bronchitis. We know these attacks are due to the fact that the breakthrough to getting back there in the new sanctuary is very close. We thank you for praying and standing with us for a speedy recovery. Love you all, Pastors Rock and Sharon.
Amen. Hallelujah.
As you can see by the elements up here, it's communion today. The pastor had received from the Lord that we weren't doing communion often enough. So today we will follow the Lord's leading and have communion. When the pastors asked to take the service instead of for them, usually I'm real reluctant. I said, no, not me. I can't do that. This time, knowing their situation, I said, sure. And I think that obedience the Lord spoke to me about what to say this morning. But as you all know, I'm a man with few words. So he only spoke a few words to me. So we may be leaving early today. But I'm sure you won't be disappointed in that. I'm hungry too. Bonnie will say a few words too after I said a few words. The Lord spoke to me and he said, concerning his communion, are you a friend of God? God and Jesus, they're God. So we're a friend of Jesus if we're a friend of God. And what will a friend do? He will ask you over for dinner. At this supper, he offers us his body. As I remember Chester saying, a gift from him, unexpectedly. You expect to bring him a gift. Instead, he's got a gift for you. His gift, his body. Some of you may know our Catholic brothers and sisters, when they take communion, they believe in actually taking Jesus' body. And we do that symbolically. But we also do that believing that Jesus is within us and we're accepting the fact that he's in us. And when we accept his body within us, his spiritual body, we know that his body is full of healing, salvation, miracles, all that we'll ever need. So we're taking all that in. Jesus' gift to us. He told us, do this. And remember, this is what he's doing for us. Now, most of you will not question, but if you're wondering if you are a friend of Jesus, let me read a few verses from the Bible. In Luke 12:4, dear friends, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot do any more to you after that. He's referring to us, dear friends. In Luke 23:48-49, and when all the crowd that came to see the crucifixion saw what had happened, they went home in deep sorrow. But Jesus' friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance. His friends, disciples, all those who followed him. We follow him. We're his friends. In John 15:13-15, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I ask you to. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. Is Jesus your friend?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. He's my friend.
Yes.
Now in taking the communion, I will read the background as to what was going on. We're going to go to Luke 22:7-30 in the New Living Translation. Now the festival of unleavened bread arrived when the Passover lamb is sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John ahead and said, go and prepare the Passover so we can eat it together, the Passover meal. come sup with me, in other words. Where do you want us to prepare? They asked him. He replied, as soon as you enter Jerusalem, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. At the house he enters, say to the owner. The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples, my friends? He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up. That is where you should prepare our meal. They went off to the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the Passover meal there. When the time came, Jesus and the disciples sat down together at the table, supping together. Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. When we get to that kingdom of God, what a marriage feast we will partake of. Imagine we'll be eating a lot, not gaining any weight. Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. But sitting here at this table, sitting among us as a friend, is the man who will betray me. For it has been determined that the Son of God, man must die, but what sorrow awaits the one who betrays him. The disciples began to ask each other, which of them would ever do such a thing? Then they began to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest among them. Jesus told them, in this world, the kings and great men lord it over their people, yet they are called friends of the people. But among you, it will be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course. But not here, for I am among you as one who serves. You have stayed with me in my time of trial, and just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I now grant you the right to eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, it doesn't mention in this book, but in Matthew and Mark, Matthew 26:30, then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. I imagine, can't you, singing a hymn, happy, glorifying God, for they had supped with the Master. Although he was going away, they knew he'd come back. He told them. So that's my part of this service. I'd like to turn it over to Bonnie. She has a few words that she wants to say.
Oops. Christ wants
us to remember, that's in both them verses, do this in remembrance of me. Christ wants us to remember his atoning work on the cross. So to partake with faith in his full forgiveness, full acceptance, full power to restore, strengthen, and heal. The Lord's table is a blessing table. It is nothing to ever be afraid of or anything, because you know how some people, you know, about that damnation thing in there. God has blessing on his mind. Blessing on his mind. He's a blesser on his mind. He doesn't have judgment. He doesn't have punishment on his mind. All punishment for our sins were put on Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, forever. All the wrath of God because of our sins, rebellion, iniquities was put on Jesus once and for all time. You all know that. Listen, our punishment, our guilt, our condemnation was all put on Jesus. I used to think our sins was put on, that's fine. But he took the punishment for our sins. I don't have to take the punishment. I don't have to take the guilt. And I do not have to take the condemnation. That's the devil's business. Okay. 1 Corinthians 11, 26, that's two verses after the ones he just read, says this. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. You proclaim. So proclaim what he died for. So proclaim what he did for us. We are righteous in God's eyes. Okay, listen to this. Romans 5:17 says, we reign in life by receiving abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. He took our sins and he gave us his righteousness. We are flawless in his eyes. A lot of people don't get that. We are flawless. And it is hard to get. It's got to be a revelation. And I've been working on it. A revelation. I am flawless. I can walk right into the throne room anytime, any place, anywhere. Because I am flawless. Because of what Jesus Christ did. He said to proclaim it. He said to proclaim it. Okay. Now, when the devil tries to make you feel guilty and condemn you, proclaim to him everything Jesus did on the cross for us. He certainly gave us authority over you, you foul devil. We are complete in Christ. Now, receive. As I've always had. Number one, I don't like the word receive. Don't ask me why. I always went to say, oh, I get it, you know, I just get it. But receive his blessings at the table. Receive healing and wholeness as you partake in the Lord's Supper. Receive his blessings in Jesus' name. One more thing. Say this after me. We send the word of healing to our pastors. The glory of the Lord will be revealed in this situation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We will now be ready to take communion. Again. Now, if you would, come in an orderly fashion. We start with this section, go this way, middle section, and then this section. And hold to your elements and we all can do it together. And I will say the words as we partake. So, come ahead.
Thank you. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's the click, click. It'll go away. It'll go away.
Farther down than we thought. Oh, yeah.
Sorry. You know, if that goes for you to receive his blessings on your life. Father, I receive a thank you for it, Father God. A thank you. A thank you for it, Father God. A thank you for it. A thank you for it, Father. A thank you for it. A thank you for the blessings. A thank you for healing. A thank you for the healing. Healing in Jesus' name. God, I forgot to say in Jesus' name. I'm sorry.
It might still be on. It might still be on.
Do you want me to read that? It's up to you. I don't care. It's up to you. Before? The bread first, you can, you know that, the bread first. You can say it. You can say it.
Before we partake of the bread, I'd like for all of you to raise it up to Jesus and just say, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Read it.
In 1 Corinthians 11:24, This is what we usually say during communion. When Jesus had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This bread is for the healing of our body. You can partake. He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant. It's the new covenant in my blood. This also do, as often as you drink it, remembering me." Partake. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us. We accept that. We take it in.
Amen.
Your healing, your salvation, anything that we'll ever need, you took for us. And we accept that
in Jesus' name.
In our spirit. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, as we go our ways, bring us safely back to
tonight's
church, where we can be with you and with our church family.
Again.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Deborah, you may come.